¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball over the middle.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Delatorre.
And your boy J Scott 25. What it do, y'all boys?
What up, 25?
Yes, sir.
What up, 25 never gets old, man. Hey, chat, y'all like, subscribe, all of that, man. Comment, we hanging out, same corner, same time. It's hot at the same corner, same time, though, man. How y'all weekend went?
It was good. Shout out to the Tampa Gator Club. They put on a golf tournament every year. We came in third this year, which is a little disappointing, but awesome to be out there, see some listeners out there.
Any controversies this year?
No controversies this year.
You had some squabbles.
Yeah, there was this time, we did well. We just didn't have enough. The team that won is consistently a very good team. So shout out to them. I forgot their names, but overall, a great event. Raises a bunch of money for scholarships for folks that are going to the University of Florida from Tampa. Other than that, pretty low-key weekend. Fantastic hockey game, though, last night after the boys wrapped up our interview with Speedy Jennings yesterday. So the Lightning are in a tussle with the Montreal Canadiens, 2-2 right now. I head to Nashville tomorrow for work, and then I'm spending the weekend there. I might change my flight if that game goes to Game 7 to come back and see the boys. Hopefully, take it home and move on to the next round. But hopefully, it doesn't go that far.
Yeah, I had a pretty chill weekend, man. I actually had a great weekend. I mean, not say chill. Shoot, I had a great chill one. It was chill as in I didn't have the kids with me and I get to wake up at whatever time I wanted. So that was the chill part about it. I went to a wedding in Asheville, North Carolina. It was for Asheville. Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. It was a little, you know, at first, but you know, it grew on me and I was like, okay, it's vibing.
What do you mean? It was a little what?
It's a little too hippie for me. Let me say
It's very crunchy. Okay. You guys know it's crunchy.
It's a little too hippie for your boy.
I thought he was gonna say white. But yes, it is very
French. I don't mind.
They can be synonymous.
Yeah.
It can be synonymous. No, but that's an FTA kid, man. Like, nothing's too white, man.
Thank you. I was about to say, I done been around it for too long, man.
Jordan, you missed it. You missed Speedy yesterday. He mentioned that he knows Coach Harriet, did a little walkthrough. I was not recruiting because that would be bad, and I would never – right. Put St. Thomas in harm's way, but was telling him about the benefits. There's still time. There's still time.
It was funny when Speedy said that. And if you haven't checked out a Speedy episode, go check that out. But it was funny because pre-show we was talking. I said, I'm out here at the 707 thing. And it's St. Thomas Aquinas got reps out here. They got their own tournament going on, but it's people out here with the logo on their chest. And they was trying to post some stuff and skill it.
No, would never. Yeah. Just scouting. You never know who's at an event that you might end up playing in the fall. Just scouting.
Couldn't be my school.
Yeah, certainly not.
Would not be my school.
Yeah, Cora Springs cannot show up out there, man.
No.
Actually, if you lost. Any directions, bud?
Yeah, man, it was a good wedding in Asheville, should I say. I keep trying to say Nashville, but Asheville, North Carolina. It was at the Belmont, I think it's the mansion or something like that. It's the biggest state. It's not Biltmore. Sorry. Yeah. It was great. I've never been there before. I saw a couple of bears on my way in. It's a nice venue. And unfortunately, it got kind of rained out, so we couldn't get it in the spot that it was originally planned for, but it still was beautiful. It was Terrell Edmonds and Kayla Smith, which is now Miss Edmonds as well. So, and that is Kenny Smith's daughter. I'm not a huge basketball fan, so everybody was pictures all over, and the dude couldn't even walk in his own way. And I kind of felt bad. Like, he couldn't, even the day before the party, he kind of was just couldn't even sit down. People coming up to him, asking him for pictures, talking to him. Like, supposed to be his daughter's day. Y'all making it about this cat.
What side were you on?
I was more of on the bride side, so my wife actually knows her really well. I actually know Tremaine more than I know Terrell. I met Tremaine a long time ago at the All-American game. But, yeah, I didn't really know his brother that well, but my girl knew her well from all the women at NFL events and stuff like that. So
I like they come together from good genetics, man.
Hey, they definitely is. I saw a Gator out there, though. My boy C.J. Henderson was out there.
Oh, shout out to CJ. That's my guy.
Yeah. It was good seeing him. There was no other Gators out there, though, I don't think.
Yeah. I didn't get into the 707 tournament. Like I said, at Dillard, went out there to check out a few players that's on Flow Factory on Miami Northwestern team. Watch them boys ball out. It's a lot of talent, you know, from Palm Beach all the way down to Miami. Just loaded, man. I seen kids that didn't have a star. You know, it had offers, but not even a star. It's oversaturated with just talent. That was just my overall synopsis of it. But hot summer is arriving. It's here. But had a solid weekend. That's it, man.
It's coming.
Yeah, well, if Jordan's weekend was low key, I don't know what mine was. Three baseball games. a lot of diapers. That's it.
202, man.
Brother,
you brought the baby.
They always say dads feel that 1-2 to 0-1 so much harder because boy, life was good before. But now, you got to take this one because this one's crying.
Yeah. There's a lot of like wake up.
Before it was a little smooth sailing. She was liking the process. I got one I can. Spoiler, but now it's like, hey, buddy, I'm gonna need you to clock in.
Hey, the more you get, the harder it is to drop off the grandmas too.
That's a fact too.
Might want to slow down, champ.
Maybe get a vasectomy. Might go get it snipped. Might be done.
Man, it's going that well, huh?
I ain't mad at you.
The girls love each other. Actually, yesterday was Elle's due date. Both girls born early. So yesterday was the actual due date.
Yeah, the picture was so sweet that you posted about it. She looked just like you. Like, geez.
Hopefully that changes. Corey, let's get a Brent ad read, and then we'll get on with the show. We got a big show today.
I said the wrong name. Stadium Miguel is brought to you by the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the panhandle to the keys, my man Greg is the best of the best in the business. I promise you he can save you some money. Visit him at bruntinsurance.com or give him a call at 954-589-2204. Big coverage, big policies, cars, homes, your life, trailers, motorcycles, boats, RVs. If it got wheels, including embroidery. Embroidery machine. It had wheels. My man Greg insured Jordan's embroidery machine. So hit him up, bruntinsurance.com, or give him a call at 954-589-2204. Greg,
what it do, baby?
At one time, for our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, these attorneys used to work on behalf of the insurance companies, and now they will work to represent you. So if you have any issues with property and casualty insurance companies, pipe damage, water damage, leak damage, whatever it might be, wind, hail, Hurricane Sinkhole, it might be a good time to just jot this number down. It's 855-652-1377, and that's DicusBurkeLaw.com. Again, Dicus Burke and Lewis Law Group, 855-652-1377, or Dicus, that's D-I-C-U-S, Burke, B-U-R-K-E, Law.com. All right, boys, we've got David Decker joining us in about 15 minutes or so. Quality control coach that was a carryover from Billy Napier's staff onto this one. But a couple quick announcements. If you missed it, the Gators received a commitment on Saturday from three-star wide receiver Anthony Speedy Jennings. We had an interview with him last night, so go check that out on the podcast feed or on YouTube. We also had the honor to sit down with John Summerall earlier today in his first podcast post-spring practice. Got the chance to talk a little bit about the QB battle, the offensive line, defensive line, what a leader means to him. I thought he had a fantastic answer there. But that was about 25, 26 minutes of some one-on-one time with John Summerall. So that'll drop at 10 a.m. on Tuesday morning. But not to be outshined, today the Gators grabbed two commitments. The first one was at 2 o'clock today, and that's by three-star defensive tackle, Devon Kendrick. He comes from Carrollwood Day School in Tampa, Florida. A three-star guy ranked as the number 58 defensive lineman in the country. I'll pull up his huddle film, but you guys have any thoughts on Devon Kendrick?
I like him. I think he's, looking at the rest of their board, I think he's more of a developmental. I think some other guys that they got on the board, I think, could possibly play earlier. But I think you also could see a type in a body that we don't have on campus with most of the room that they're recruiting at defensive tackle. These are bigger defensive tackles that are more space eaters than or no, true nose tackles. But I like the kid, man. I like that he plays different spots on the D-line on his tape. One thing you should do in high school when you're trying to get an offer like Florida, just dominate, you know, competitions. I think it's solid tape. I think he's probably the floor of what they're going to do in this class.
Yeah, I think Corey Bender was at his announcement today. And he said that he thinks
Hey, you think you got that Obama,
about
man?
300 in offensive line.
Oh, it might be a bit like
the St. Pete Wi-Fi can't handle back? Streaming. Yeah, you're back. They can't handle streaming video.
Yeah, no, I don't know what right. I've got.
You got too spotty, man. You trying to show highlights, bro? You got new house.
Trying to do too much.
Yeah. Yeah, new house ain't ready.
Trying to set up a Wi-Fi extender earlier today and is having problems. But anyway, but Corey Bender was at his announcement today, said that he's probably every bit of 6'3", 6'4", probably a little bit on the heavier side of 300 pounds, maybe 320. But a guy that plays defensive line, offensive line, and is also a wrestler. So
I also like the wrestling part of it.
Yeah. You know, that was one thing not to, I guess, to preview, not to ruin, but one thing Summerall mentioned when he was talking to us today, would like another space eater on the current roster. They'll have a chance in the portal after next season, but here's someone, you know, kind of three tech guy put him over the center.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of the identity of Florida, kind of getting some big defensive linemen, some guys that can be able to move and, play all over the D-line. Obviously, once he gets to our level, I think he's going to obviously be an interior guy for us. But it's good that he got that in his bag to show that he's athletic enough to, you know, get a pass rush move going on in there, not just a space eater that can't do nothing on third down. Or if they're trying to play action pass, you know, second down, they can't get home. So I think it's a good get. So like Corey said, I feel like this is the floor of our class. I got high expectations for what we can do, especially with just the draft coming up. I mean, the draft that just happened and recruits look at that, man. You can check the stats over the years. Florida always gets guys in the league. And, like, what was Caleb? Like, what, three-star coming out of high school maybe? Four-star, three-star? Yeah, three-star. Like,
85 rating.
Yeah, three-star.
Come on. Like, he's a top 20 pick, you know what I'm saying? I think, yeah. So, in my opinion, I feel like that should speak volume to the recruits in that you come here and we're going to get you in the league if you do what you got to do. And shoot, he didn't even play as much this year, and he still ended up getting taken pretty early. So, just shows you the value that Florida holds on that. And I'm sure that they honing in on that as far as the recruiting statement goes. So I'm expecting a big class this year.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the draft after David Decker. But Devon Kendrick, again, added to the class. He had offers from Auburn, Nebraska, NC State, Rutgers, Georgia Tech, just going through these highly ranked Pittsburgh, Syracuse. So a number of bigger schools, Louisville. So, again, the Gators grab him to add to their class. And the Gators, an hour later, with really no ceremony other than it was on CBS, no hat tricks, no nothing. Interior offensive lineman, 6'5", 290 pounds. Lineman Peyton Miller from Anna High School in Anna, Texas, commits. He is the second member of the Gators offensive line class, joining Maxwell Hiller, who was the five-star. But Peyton Miller offers from just about everybody. The Gators beat out Texas Tech, SMU, Texas, Clemson, a number of others. There. He's ranked as the 130th best player in the country, the number 10 interior offensive lineman. ESPN has him ranked as the number one interior offensive lineman in the country, and the Rivals Industry Rankings, which is accumulation of all three rankings, has him as the 17th best player in Texas. But again, a guy that Phil Trotline won and Phil Trotline got, and, you know, beating out SMU, Texas, Texas Tech, those are some schools with some money. So
Phil doing what he want to do, man.
Yeah. Get another first-round offensive lineman drafted.
He's got a way to let Phil cook, bro. He's just doing what he want to do. Like it. I think that room is going to be elite. I also think we recruiting at the offensive line. Like, these ain't developmental guys we got to wait 2-3 years for. I think they're going to come in and compete for a starting job year one with what Phil's going out to. So, you're just raising the floor. I think the guys on campus are going to have to get it together a little bit with how he recruiting, because I think the recruiting that we see now in high school is also going to reflect at the end of the season when we enter the portal this time. I don't think Phil's going to be going out the type of players we want in the portal this time. I think we're going to have more time for him to execute, have a plan together. So I like everything they're doing right now as far as recruiting from top to bottom. Every position group, they got a good plan, good boards, good strategy. You're lining up to be a top five class here, bro, you know?
Yeah, right now the Gators ranked number 7th overall in the rankings, 3rd in the SEC. Their class average is a 92.85, which is their last year's class was a 90.09, so definitely an improvement. Out of the commitments that you have, 80% of them are blue chip recruits, so 4 or 5 star. You only have 3 3-stars in this class. But again, you go and you climb the rankings, you go, you beat some big schools, and you know, right now the Gators, you know, beat out just about everybody for Maxwell Hiller. They went and got their quarterback, David Davidson, who was just named to the All-State team for the state of Florida next year. You went Tremont Collins, just announced today, the wide receiver, that he's shutting down his commitment. Peyton Miller, again, a big get. You beat a bunch of schools out for him. Amari Fountain was a DB that you wanted and highly ranked, especially on Rivals. They have him as the number 4 player in the country. Amari Nugent, Speedy Jennings, Jackson Bollinger, Tommy Douglas, and then Devon Kendrick. So I don't think that the Gators' momentum is going to stop anytime soon. I do think that there's not going to probably be multiple commitments over the next few days, but I would not be surprised if in the next quick math, maybe a week and a half, you don't see another commitment for the Gators.
You've been pretty accurate, Dan.
I know a guy.
Know a guy too. Hey, Jordan, if you're a running back, I think this helps with, because we haven't really brought in a running back right now. But I would recalibrate the running back board a little bit here too. When you start getting those type of offensive linemen like that, bro, you can go creme de la creme in the running back room. Probably not have to overpay. Like, yeah, if you're a recruit, what are you looking at, Jordan, if you see, like, this running back room?
Jordan was looking at Fred, looking at Martez. Jordan was looking at a bunch of 4 and 5 star guys. He's like, you know what? That's fine. I can go run behind them.
Hey, this is the first time the Gators have had, if they close out with them, the first time since 2012 that they'll have ended with 2 offensive linemen that are ranked in the top 150 players in the country.
Yeah, that's how I was feeling, though, because my class was full of old linemen. Like, I think it was majority linemen. Like, it was outrageous. So, I definitely is like an easy pitch to any guy you really want to go out there and get, even if we're talking Porter, because obviously we may have to go that route with ball departing after this season. Like, it's not going to be too hard to because he needed it after this year, right? Oh, he's,
cool. Yeah,
I think so. Jaden Ball? Oh, he's a sophomore, right?
Unless he will terribly be wrong. A junior this year.
Yeah. Oh, unless something goes terribly wrong, he's out of here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we're going to have to move right into Portland and kind of get it back. So I think it's going to be easy for us. We're looking at the class we got. And that's going to be an easy pitch, man. And at the end of the day, I hate to say it, but it's not hard to find a good running back as well. So even if we're not spending top dollar, I think we can still find a guy to be able to maneuver back there and make himself look better than what he is with that offensive line, especially how much like movement and stuff we got pre-snap. I'm sure Buster gonna find a way to get this offensive line rolling and how to run game looking clean.
I love it. All right, guys. Well, we got David Decker waiting in the green room for us. So one time for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks, go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com if you want a really cool cup like this. Keeps your hot drinks hot, cold drinks cold. Actually, I parked in the parking garage today at work. There was still ice in my cup at about 4 o'clock today. So shout out to Game Time Sidekicks in this cup. Go visit them. Use promo code STADIUM15. It'll get you 15% off of your order. Again, GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15. And with that, we are going to welcome a quality control coach for the wide receiver group. David Decker started his career as a wide receiver at Louisiana, was a student assistant at LSU, spent some time back at Louisiana under Billy Napier, came over to the University of Florida when Billy Napier joined the staff, and then stuck around as one of the holdovers for John Summerall. I know he's a guy that the fans really like and really respect, and is married to a fan favorite of Gator Nation as well. And with that, we welcome David Decker. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, man. Good.
Dan, I've talked to David about this. Those are the father of newborn eyes right there. That's right. Yeah.
Congratulations. Y'all got same the same thing. Eyes? Yeah.
Same I see eyes. Boys, same man. Eyes. There you
go. Hey, David, don't go two under two, David.
No. I warned against it. But yeah, we are – David and I are in the trenches.
Dude. It ain't for the faint of heart, I'll tell you.
Well, that's for sure.
Man, and working the hours that you have to, David, compared to the hours that Nick has to, I can't imagine what you have to go to.
Yeah, it's like like 14-hour weeks. It's roughly the same as you.
No, yeah. Nick's 14. I mean, yeah.
Honestly, during this time, it's not bad. So
that's a good point. Well, David, congratulations on the birth of your daughter, correct? If I remember correctly.
Son.
His name is Cooper. I don't remember correctly. 50-50 chance. And
I like that name. That's a good name.
No, you're good. I appreciate it, guys.
David, I guess to kick it off, like, we haven't talked to a lot of quality control coaches on this show. In every administrator or every coaching staff, the role is going to be a little bit different. But talk to us a little bit about like what your role is and what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. So it's kind of changed, obviously, from the previous staff to this staff. Was a little bit more involved in offensive game planning and things like that with the previous staff. But with this one, I've kind of been able to take more a central approach to helping the younger receivers in the room kind of meet extra and that kind of thing. And working alongside Coach Davis and Coach McKnight has been a huge blessing. And they've really brought me along in the process and kind of welcomed me and gave me a voice in the room, which has been phenomenal.
Talk to us a little bit about, so you were there, you were there with Billy Gonzalez for a number of years. What's the difference kind of between the last few years as Billy Gonzalez was there and then, this new coaching staff with Davis and McKnight?
Yeah. So, Billy's a little bit old school, which he's more hands-on and takes a central voice in the room, which is to be expected with an older guy. And with this new staff, they've kind of, specifically Marcus, he's kind of propelled me into having a voice and speaking up and then doing the script review with the guys in the morning before the practice and stuff like that, which has been, again, a huge blessing.
Ricky Pearsall and Chim DK accredited you and gave you a lot of credit for their development. What's your process and how do you approach bringing in from a freshman in high school and also the transfer portal with like trying to better these guys' game?
Yeah. So previously, kind of my approach has always been a holistic approach and just starting from the ground up. Whenever you, especially at this level, for a lot of the guys that we inherit at the University of Florida, you really don't have to teach them the base athletic things, right? Like they can all run, they can jump, they can do all those things. I think the thing that you need to catch them up on is the basic football knowledge. And that's the approach that I've tried to take over the years, is try to build up their football knowledge to make sure whenever we hit the ground running in spring ball, if they're a mid-year, to make sure that they're up to par on all the playbook terminology. And it's honestly been something that I've had to make a transition of in this now new regime, is learning the terminology myself, right? And being able to sit in those extra meetings with those guys, those younger cats, and being able to teach them the process of, all right, this is how you get lined up. This is how we're trying to present this formation motion to run these base plays that are just our bread and butter, right? So that's been kind of my approach, is trying to make it's, and the way I view it, honestly, is it's kind of like that big math problem that you have in algebra when you're in like the seventh grade, right? And it's gigantic. And, you know, our job is to reduce that to its simplest form. And I think whenever you can do that for a player, make it simple to where they can go out and execute it at a high level, I think that's whenever you see their level of play elevate.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on that seventh grade math. Once they put the alphabet into my math, that's when it was done.
It was a wrap. It was unbelievable.
It mixed like English grade. And math class, and I was done. St. Thomas takes care of their athletes, Corey.
That's right. I
was trying to get speed.
Now you see it,
man. Grad through college.
Coach, what we've talked to specifically like defensive back coaches, but you're talking about the physical traits, size, speed, leaping ability, hands. Do you get guys who are maybe like leaning on that and just got away with being more athletic in high school, and you get them here and you're like, hey, we need to work on your feet. And you can't, this isn't a 7-on-7. You're not doing 36 steps at the line. Our quarterback sacked. How much of those guys who are super talented, 4-star, 5-star, where you're like, hey, we have no fundamentals. And yes, you are athletically gifted, but we need to work on steps 1, 2, and 3 first.
Yeah, I think there's definitely traits that that every athlete has, right? And some may be lacking in some areas, right? And I think kind of to your point, Nick, like not everyone has the ability to break at a 45 at the top of the route or a 90 cut or whatever it is, be able to track the ball over the shoulder. Like, and those things, kind of like you're saying, you have to develop over time that not everyone can have. Very seldomly do you get a complete player here at the University of Florida. Like it's there's at some point there's a trait that will lack. You look back at some of the guys like Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin didn't lack a trait, right? Like that's kind of a different cat. Like that's the upper echelon of athletes, right? And then you look at some of the other cats like Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall was an elite route runner, could separate at the top of the route, was good with his hands. And you know, there's some questions. What some people were questioning his ability to run, right? And then the guy runs a 4.2 whatever at the combine, right? Like, and so I think from that aspect, there will always be a piece missing. It's just about what pieces are missing and what can you make up for with the traits that they do have.
So I got one for you, man. You know I'm a running back, so I like to make sure them boys gonna be blocking on the perimeter a little bit. So how I wanna know how y'all going about, you know, just making sure that it's a priority, and just as well, I also want to ask, how much of blocking do you think is like more of technique than attitude as well?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I honestly believe that, you know, how you play without the ball demonstrates who you are as a teammate. Like, and that's what something that we say in our receiver room all the time, like something that Davis and McKnight both preach. And it's gone to the extent of during spring practice, we were working on blocking and just like having a bag pop up and dude standing right here, the other guy's right here. And it's a competition drill. And I think a lot of those things, it goes back to want to, kind of like you're saying, right? Like,
yeah.
And of course there's technique. You want a good base. You want to have violent hands, good strike, keep balanced feet throughout the down, right? But yeah. Also it comes down to want to, right? And I think yeah. if you look at the tape, if you look at winning football teams, like they play with high effort all the time. It's a non-negotiable. And blocking is like one of the facets to where that I think that gets demonstrated the most.
100%.
How do you feel about the receiver room you have right now? I mean, you got some guys in there. Vernell, there's a lot of different flavors, man. Dallas Wilson, you get Singleton come in, the transfer portal. I love Micah Mays. Even Stockton coming from Georgia Tech. It's just a lot of different flavors, guys that do a lot of different things. What's your overall opinion of that room?
First off, this is a big Micah Mays podcast. Big Micah Mays podcast here.
Yeah, I love working with Micah. Mike is a guy that he's always going to ask questions and always going to be about doing the work. And, you know, we had an exit interview with him, and he's the type of kid that you want to coach on a daily basis. Same thing with Vernell Brown, Dallas Wilson. Like, I'm a better person for having coached Dallas Wilson, like being able to work with Dallas Wilson on a daily basis. And I'm sure Coach McKnight and Coach Davis would echo that as well. Like, just infectious energy. And obviously the work ethic is there. We just got to get him back healthy, right? And then going down the list, like Eric Singleton has been, you know, as good as advertised. Bailey Stockton's been a really, really good addition for our team. And then, you know, TJ Abrams had a good spring camp towards the end, right? Obviously had a big catch in the spring game. And we just need him to play more consistent over time. And then bringing some of these young cats along like Davian Gross, that can eventually help our team later in the year, hopefully.
One, being out there at practice, I remember like the first 3-4 practices wondering like, when am I going to see the Eric Singleton? And then there was one practice where you guys must have been like installing some kind of play action. There was some deeper routes. And then I was just like, okay, there he is. And then it was like practice like 4 the rest of the spring. I was like, okay, that's the guy I heard about. He's been electric. What if you get him and VB and Dallas, you just have so many different, I can't think what Corey was trying to get at, so many different skill sets. How do they complement each other in what you and what you guys are trying to do in Buster's offense?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was around Kerry Colbert for a year, my first year here at Florida. And he's like an older brother to me. He was actually in our wedding, me and Kate's wedding. And he talked about how he wants his receiver room to look like a basketball team, right? Within the basketball team, you got your dynamic guy with the ball in his hands, like the point guard, right? That's probably like a VB, right? And then you got your home run threat, your power four, that's Eric Singleton. Then you got your center or whoever, and that's Dallas Wilson, the bigger body, right? And I think, again, it goes back to traits. What can Dallas Wilson do well, right? Dallas Wilson can make contested catches, right? Eric Singleton's really good with the ball in his hands. VB's a savvy route runner. And I think getting the ball in their hands through those methods and through what they do really well is how we can distribute the ball accordingly. And I think Coach Faulkner does a really good job of that.
And one more on VB. Obviously, you come in as a freshman, you can kind of be vocal, but you don't really know your spot. I think we've seen some of the clips that the creative team has put out, just how different is VB just as a vocal leader in year two?
Yeah, he's really stepped up in that regard. And I think that's always hard as an underclassman, right? Like, you know, you come in, you're making plays. He's a freshman, all conference player. And then year two happens, right? You go through winter offseason. Now it's like, all right, who's leading now? It's a brand new staff. And someone has to do it. And I think he took it upon himself to do that. And I think he's done a really good job of not only doing that, but leading by example as well. You know, like there was one spring practice where I walked upstairs right after, and then I walked back down, and he's the only one catching jugs, right? And it's 45 minutes after, right? But that's the type of leadership that you want. It's like not someone that's just going to get after your tail whenever, you know, you're not doing something right, but also, hey, he's doing the extra work, so I should too, right? And I think that he's gone about it the right way.
What are some non-negotiables when just trying to evaluate or recruit when you're bringing them in? Like, what's some skills or just personality traits or characteristics that are just non-negotiables?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the character piece, right? Like, I think if you look at that room, right, there's a lot of good, not only good football players, but good people, right? And I think that's not a coincidence. I think you look at the level that all these guys play at, it's because they're high character and they care about what they do. So I think that piece is probably the first non-negotiable. I think the second non-negotiable is verified speed. I think that's something that we like to evaluate and look at whenever we're looking at a recruit. Obviously, you're looking at the highlight tape first, but after the fact, you're trying to find out how fast is he. All right, does he have a verified camp time? Does he have, you know, a verified 100-meter time in a track meet? I think all those things matter and they do translate. The other thing that I would say, if they're not running track, then they better be playing basketball or doing triple jump or high jump. I think those three things are really good indicators of athleticism. I was around a guy named Tim Leger, who's still the receiver coach at UL Lafayette, and he was big on that. And we had a couple of guys that we recruited back then, and it was true. Like, it carried over. And it's all about how – because at the end of the day, basketball, it comes down to, all right, I'm running a route. A route's a straight line, all right? So if you're guarding me and that's the rack right there, how do I get the guy off the line to create a straight line at the rack? It's no different than running a route.
There's been a, and I don't think it's as big right now as it was maybe 5 years ago, but 7-on-7 really kind of occupying everybody's free time. When you guys are recruiting these players, I mean, are you often talking to them about making sure that they're playing other sports? Or when you talk to, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th graders, probably not a ton of 7th or 8th graders now that I think about it, but are you encouraging them to continue to play other sports? Yeah. I don't want to get you in trouble.
So when you're at the elementary school of recruiting, easy. What are you telling these third graders?
What's your message at career day?
No doubt. Man, take your parent to work day. Hey, make
that's
sure
that's right.
No, I think it's encouraged, like, because, like, again, the more that you can do, the more athleticism you show. I think it goes back to like neuroplasticity, almost. Like, all right, are you a one trick pony or can you do more than one thing, right? Because if it's really easy to do just football, right, for these kids that are elite athletes. But if you can show that you can run the verified time and track, if you can display that you're playing basketball, or in Justin Williams' case, like, he was a center fielder in baseball in high school, right? Like, those things trend to translate down the road. And so I would say that it is encouraged. And I think to Dan's point too, like, with the 7-on-7 piece, that only carries so much weight, right? Like, you have good competition, all that stuff, which is encouraged. But at the end of the day, 7-on-7 is not football, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a drastic difference. And so I would take, you know, a better track time over, hey, your team won the OT7 at wherever, you know, like, that's great. But we want to see other things, right? Mm-hmm.
I see that a lot at practice with when you guys are doing like punt return. And I can tell if a kid, I'm like, oh, he's never played baseball. He looks super uncomfortable with his head up and doesn't know where his feet are, looking, tracking a ball. Right. I've mentioned that before, but some kids do.
Yeah. No, that's good insight for sure.
We had the chance to talk to Coach Summer earlier today, and he's been obviously pretty public out there. I know a lot of the fan base is excited about his energy. I mean, it's a different guy than Billy Napier. And this isn't a disparaging comment on Billy Napier, just a different guy. But what's something inside the football office that maybe fans don't see that you can share?
Yeah, I would say he is who he is, and he's unapologetically himself. And who he is what you're going to get. And that's probably the thing that I appreciate about him the most, is like, he's not going to BS, not going to say one thing and do another. He is who he is. And he's like, as the kids would say, he's going to stand on business. And that's kind of what I've appreciated being around him the most, is like, he's about the work. He's about executing his plan and doing it at a high level. And it's been awesome being around. He's got great energy. Like I can't express you know how excited I am to be working for him. It's awesome.
That's awesome. All right, boys, you got any last questions?
How have you enjoyed the schedule changes?
Yeah, so that's been an adjustment for sure. I've honestly, like, I love the morning practice schedule. It's been, I thought I was like, I don't know, like, I kind of want, you know, to plan out my day and things like that, and it's been incredible.
Yeah, if you show up at the building at 12, the players might be gone.
Right.
What do you think about Buster's offense? And like, I know we had Billy last year. It's offensive change for you. So what do you think about Buster's offense and also the receiver's role in it?
Yeah, so I think it allows the playmakers to be playmakers. And I think that was displayed in the spring game. And I think it's about running your stuff, just the different pictures, right? And how it appears different to the defense. And he's another guy, unapologetically himself, and he calls it like that. And he's every bit of who he is, and he's not afraid to let it just freaking rip. And I love that about him. And I think within the receiver role, you know, he's displayed in the offense of being able to get the receivers the ball, which is at the University of Florida, I mean, it's paramount, right? Like, you come to the University of Florida to play receiver because of the ball, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's been good to be around.
How much campaigning was Dallas doing? Like, watching him once he got cleared to like leave the weight room a little bit, seemed to be like in your pocket on the sideline, helmet on, pads on. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes he had cleats on. I'm like, buddy, I don't think they're letting you out there. I don't know why your cleats are on.
Yeah, dude, he's chomping at the bit. And like, the thing I'd say about him, and I kind of hit on it earlier, is the kid has the best attitude every day. And he's just infectious to be around. And he's been a guy that's like trying to get back out there and doing everything the right way. And he's been like, hey, can I do this walkthrough rep or whatever it is? And meeting extra and doing all the little things, right? So I'm excited for him to get back out there. I think he's putting the work and going about it the right way.
Ask him how Papa Shot went against me.
Did you get after him?
Full circle. It's always about Nick.
Just ask him how it went. Ask him how it went at the office with Nick.
Yeah.
Man. Oh,
for sure.
Did you stand on business, Nick?
Well, I stood on the highest score. I know that's what I stood on.
Wow. Wow. David, I got a final question. I mean, we always talk about like players transitioning to new coaches, but we don't often talk about other coaches that are, you know, now have a new reporting structure, new scheme, everything else. What's that first couple weeks, first couple months? Because then you're expected to go out there. You have to know the offense and you have to coach the offense. You have to make sure that you're kind of, you know, lockstep, if you will, with, you know, the other wide receiver coaches and what the offense is going to be. What's that first couple month transition like for you?
Yeah, I think it's I'm a big believer in taking it one day at a time and never getting too far ahead. And, you know, the past is the past, can't change it, move forward and all that good stuff. And I think the fortunate piece for us, especially I'll speak for both Marcus and myself, is we have Trent McKnight, which obviously was with Buster at Georgia Tech. And so we've kind of relied on him heavily, as well as the other guy who helps us out, who's more so in a GM role or front office role, Chad Lucas, who helps us out with receivers as well. He does a freaking phenomenal job. Love Chad. But we've kind of relied on him to kind of teach us the ins and outs of the offense, right? And so having that resource has been invaluable. And I'll say it like this, Trent McKnight's a really good ball coach, like really, really good. And Marcus is as well. But with Trent being privy to the offense, it's kind of been a cheat code, if you will. Okay. So at whatever point, I've never felt like I'm panicking or, you know, under fire, just because, again, like every question that I've had, I'm going to him and it's like, hey, what are we doing right here? Like, and he answers, So it's been awesome.
I love that. I want you to stand on business here, though. Who is the fastest wide receiver on the team right now? Straight line foot race.
You're trying to get me in trouble.
I'm trying.
Well, listen. If they don't like it, they can put it on TikTok
and Instagram. Tag the individual players. I mean, we can start with who's going to finish in last.
But you got to specify how far is the race? 40, 100?
100 seems too far, Jordan.
That's how we measure football, man. 40s. Let's keep it righteous, man. Dude, 40 yards.
If it's 40, I'm gonna take Eric Singleton. I really am.
Okay.
Like he can roll. Like yeah, can roll.
I like that.
Man, it's not who.
I will say this: like these other cats, like BB, and honestly, like the person who stuck out the most during winter offseason, because it was like essentially a 25-yard sprint cutting and going back to the goal line, was Bailey Stockton. Bailey Stockton won every one of them. It was unbelievable.
Okay.
Excited, right?
Elite short area quickness.
Lunch bell guy.
Anyone in the room that you could beat in a race?
Oh, jeez.
Had to get him out of here.
You're really trying to get me in trouble.
you thought we were trying to get you in trouble before. This is
Carson. Get him out of here.
Just luring you into a sense of security here before we really get you in trouble.
Now, I do want to ask about Khalil Jackson, though. Like, what's Khalil? Khalil's been around. He's been battling injury a little bit, but he's a guy that made some contested catches. I think he can play a little bit. So I think he had a pretty good spring camp from what I was told. Like, how's Khalil coming along?
Yeah, so he's been good. I think the main thing for us and the approach that we took is because it's been so long since Khalil's played football, right? Like, you look at, I think it was 2024 Miami whenever he hurt his knee. The main thing was we're just getting through the spring practice, right? Like, just make sure he comes out healthy. And I love Khalil. Me and Khalil have been through the ringer since 22, and he's been a guy that, like, he's always working extra, like always doing extra mobility, all the good and all that stuff. And so to see him have to get his knee rescoped, it really was tough. I'm just happy to see him get through 15 spring practices and be in a position to go compete in fall camp. And I think he does have the ability. He does show suddenness at the line of scrimmage. He does show the ability to separate, bigger body, right? Like you said, Corey, makes the contested catches. You know, I'm excited for him. I think he has a chance. I want him to make it out to fall camp, right?
Love it. Yeah. All right, boys. I think David's got a newborn to tend to, a wife that probably wants his attention. And David, man, we appreciate you for joining the show tonight, man. And best of luck. And it's always been fun to watch you and interact with fans and recruiting and obviously the development stuff. You are a well-liked and well-respected Gator coach. So thanks so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds good. I appreciate you guys for having me on.
No problem. Man. Have a good one.
See, David Decker. You thought I was trying to get him in trouble. I was the trouble question is, which one of your players can you beat in a foot race? That's when all of a sudden a player comes up to you and goes, "All right, coach, let's go."
Yeah,
get him out of here.
I seen the pod, bro. You was talking greasy. Grab your cleats, bro. Grab your cleats.
Oh, man. Let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Homefield Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code StadiumGale to get 15% or 20%, pardon me, off of your first order and free shipping. Again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code StadiumGale. About 6 pages of UF apparel, vintage logos, all that fun stuff. So, again, one time for our friends over at homefieldapparel.com, promo code StadiumGale. I do want to give a couple shout outs in the group chat. Always good to see, or in the chat here. Brandon Connell, great seeing you as always, my friend. Rolling with Carlos. He just did an episode with Corey, what, last week?
Friday. Yeah, for
Friday.
Sure.
Yeah, so go check that out. Cody, the professor from High Top, is here. I think we might be playing in a golf tournament together in August. So shout out to him. Nelly, Cody. IW Jake, a bunch of folks.
Yeah, so Cody, I watched the running training. I just saw you on the golf simulator.
Yeah,
I gotta have a better showing.
Shelton said he shot 106, which is just not gonna work on a scramble team, but we'll save that for discussion for another time. We'll put him through some regimen training. But NFL draft was this weekend. Huge news for the Gators. The first time that they've had a player drafted in every single round of the NFL draft. The Gators get 7 total draft picks, but it started early, maybe even a little bit earlier than I thought, just because of injury, not because of skill set, but Caleb Banks selected 18th overall by the Minnesota Vikings. Were you guys at least a little surprised that he got taken so early? Or?
Really. Yeah, I thought Caleb would be late round, like 20 or early second. Especially, I mean, it was good news when his agency came out and said, like, hey, his foot's healthy, we're going to be able to, like, go through stuff. But just the injury in high school and then a couple in college of the same kind of thing. Listen, it's not easy being the foot of a 6'6", 300-pound human being. A lot of weight you're carrying.
You speak to feet?
But, like, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like my foot is holding less weight than his foot. Like Yao Ming, 7 feet tall, had foot problems.
You're also not career. Running. Try running. Maybe you heard it.
Oh, yeah. No, my feet are fine. We walk slowly.
I'm sorry.
But I think he has been productive, super long arms. And then I think there is something to be said for, like, oh, he came back to play. Like, agents probably telling them, like, hey, listen, we're getting surgery again, sit out. And I think that's a quality that any team, any person in the front office is like, oh, this kid loves football. I don't have to ask him if he loves football. He came back and played in 2 meaningless football games for a 4-win team because he wanted to play football with his team. Like, and that tells me what I need to know about his character and what kind of teammate he is, what kind of person I'm bringing into the locker room. On top of the physical attributes,
I thought he was going to go. I thought once they got the news that he was healthier than, you know, what was being reported, he got great tape. You know, injuries is always a thing, but he has great tape. And it was a few other guys in this first round that dealt with some injuries, but his upside is crazy. And then even if he had a foot injury, what he ran and what he did at a combine was absolutely crazy for a guy his size. So once they got word, man, I was thinking he could probably creep back in like the top 12 range, but you know, good day for him, right? Yeah, good day for Chapman. Yeah, man, he had all the what I liked about it when the camera crew go there, it's a lot of Gators in that room, and if you follow him on social media, he had a lot of his teammates there, man, which I thought was dope as well. But good stuff for Caleb Banks.
Yeah, awesome. Great story, really, you know, fantastic player. So excited to see how he performs in Minnesota. Good squad up there. Obviously, some quarterback issues, but overall, good squad, good organization to land with. Jake Slaughter was the next one picked, second round pick 63 by the Los Angeles Chargers, and then not too much longer later, in the third round, pick 86 was Austin Barber to the Cleveland Browns.
Barber definitely went earlier than I expected.
Yeah, I think your tweet summed it up perfectly. Like, I wouldn't wish Cleveland on anybody, but congratulations, third round pick. Congratulations, you're in the league. Wouldn't wish the Browns on anybody, but you're in, third round pick. Also, I text Jake Friday night, and I was like, buddy, good luck finding a deer blind or somewhere to go hunting in LA. But congratulations. It'll be interesting to see with Jake too. I remember I was talking to him a couple weeks before the draft, and he was like, yeah, I'm like the 150th best guard in this draft, but like the best center. So it's about finding teams to be a center. And I don't know that the Chargers do. I think they even announced him as a guard. He can obviously play all 3 interior positions, but I thought his future would be playing center for sure.
Yeah, I think those are some good gifts for those guys, man. I feel like we already knew this and like how loaded the roster was as far as talent went. And we had some struggles on the O-line last year. But I think for the guys who went, I mean, those were our best dogs, if you ask me. I know I was a little surprised with Austin Barber as well. But, I mean, it's just so hard to find good quality linemen, fellas. It's like when you find someone that's putting on decent tape, I got to roll the dice and just try it out. You know, so I'm not saying he's like an experiment, like he hasn't shown good stuff, but like I'm sure compared to the other stuff around the league and you compare it to the dudes he's faced, his resume is not too bad when you really boil it down.
Yeah, and what, 3 years starting left tackle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he moves to right tackle in the NFL. No,
for sure. He played out of position. I don't think he's a left tackle. So I think he'll be better served at right tackle for sure.
He's also someone who I always tried to write a story for him, but he's just like one of those, like, no, it's not an excuse, but like had to have shoulder surgery after his junior year or after his sophomore year, had to have shoulder and foot surgery right after his junior year. And I'm like, bro, people are like getting on you for your play and you're playing on like a broken foot with a torn rotator cuff, trying to like push people. But like doesn't complain, just like, hey, throw it in a sling and like put me out there. So tough kid. The dog pound gets a dog, but goodness, Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been to Cleveland a bunch. I forgot to mention Phil Trotwine did have, I'm just going to call him Ione, the offensive lineman from Penn State, Ola. We'll call him Ola Ione. The offensive lineman was drafted first round by the Baltimore Ravens. So another draft pick by Phil Trotwine there. And then they had another pick, Drew Shelton, that went to the Dallas Cowboys. So two of Trotwine's guys from Penn State get drafted. Back to the Gators, Devin Moore, round four, pick 114. Again, a guy that when he was healthy showed out, had a good career. Just unfortunately, I'm not sure he played a complete season. I think 2025 was his closest to a complete season. I know that there's a couple seasons where he played six games or five games. So just, you know, a guy that did battle injuries. But round four, pick 114 to the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm trying to find the tweet here. Just to take a second. But he's going to join a Dallas Cowboys roster that has Shamar James, Charcos Bridges, and Dante Fowler already on in their lineup. So joining a
Malik Davis still out there?
Who?
Well, he was just naming just
defense. Defense. Okay. Yeah.
So 2025, last year he missed one game.
Yeah.
Played 11 of the 12 games. Seven the year before, 7-23, and just 5-22.
Yeah,
I think if Devin's healthy, even for the combine, he still wasn't healthy. So I think if he has a healthier career and he goes to the combine healthy and run when he could really run, Devin is a second, third round talent. You know, I think they got a steal in the fourth, and he'll, I think, get to that second contract as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah,
a lot of upside.
George Gums goes round five, pick 156 to the Indianapolis Colts, a guy that maybe didn't have the season we thought he would this past season, the season before.
Nick had him breaking the record.
On a tear. Yeah, Nick did have him breaking a record.
Yeah,
Nick, we all told a lot of lies, but I think Nick really peaked.
Generational run last year, bro.
It was incredible. But you know, think of George Gums goes to Northern Illinois as a tight end, ends up drafted in the fifth round as an edge rusher. So a really cool story for him. Maybe last year wasn't as great as we wanted, but still accumulated 67 tackles, 15 tackles for loss, 8 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and 2 pass breakups in his 2 seasons with the Gators. So
I think he was a walk-on too. I think he was a walk-on.
I believe he was a walk-on. I was going to say that, but I wasn't 100% sure. But
yeah, but listen, just more than a decade of being negative Nick, I had lies already.
Yeah, overcorrected. That's a great photo, Thomas.
A bit of an overcorrection.
So he heads up to the Indianapolis Colts there.
He's a guy that's gonna continue to make rosters and just stay, because just because you get drafted don't mean you just stay around a long time. But he has the athleticism to play special teams and a whole lot of other things. If he don't start contributing to like a rotation of pass rushers, et cetera, he has athleticism to definitely play special teams. So shout out to that.
Trey Smack goes pick 216, round 6 to the Green Bay Packers. Ended his career as one of the best kickers in Florida history. Set the record for most 50-yard field goals with the Gators with 10. And had the third most field goals made, second longest field goal made, and is the third most accurate extra point.
Billy put that boy to work.
Yeah, a lot of work. A lot of work for him. But, you know, a guy that if you get drafted, there's probably a chance that you're going to be that team's kicker unless you just don't deliver. But exceptionally accurate kicker goes up to Green Bay. And then, yeah.
That's crazy.
One Brandon pick Connor. Apart.
We need a 30 for 30 on what happened to Harold Perkins. I mean, clearly a pass rusher. And then Brian Kelly, it was just like, hey, how do you like watch some Ray Lewis film? Let's make you do that.
They couldn't find him a true position. They just was sometimes he's a star, he's an edge, they a linebacker, he was just a new spot every other series. Mm-hmm. Ended up hurting him.
Yeah, I think he's the guy that's gonna do well in the NFL, though. I think he'll find his spot. He's super athletic. But enough about Harold Perkins. Trey Smack goes there. And then pick 7 or around 7, pick 239 of the Buffalo Bills, Tommy Doman.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was second in the country in Pro Football Focus last year and was on the Billy Pro Football Focus. Yeah, no, 100%. The Michigan transfer ends up up in Buffalo. So congratulations to him. I mean, kickers and punters just don't get drafted very often. Yeah, you usually get a handful of each, maybe at most. Sometimes you get one or two. So to get both specialists, I know Billy Napier and the Game Changers are thrilled for that news. And I'm sure there's going to be a graphic.
Did the Matt get drafted?
No. I don't think the Matt made the roster. Coach Matt.
Yeah.
So Matt's looking for an opportunity.
Also, from talking to Coach G, the special teams coordinator, Matt didn't survive roster cuts either.
No, it doesn't surprise me.
Matt won't be on the sideline.
Yeah. Most confident franchises don't need him.
We got coaches that could count to 11 now.
That's right. Hey, Black Raider Steel, appreciate you joining the show. We'll never talk about your comments, but if you could hit the like button while you're here. The Gators have now had 387 players drafted all time, 299 since the merger in 1967. The fifth all time amongst SEC programs with 383 all time draft picks. They are the first time that the Gators have ever had a kicker or punter drafted in this, or kicker and punter, pardon me, drafted in the first or same year. Geez. Reading down here, Devin Moore, 31st corner defensive back taken out of Florida. First corner drafted since Jason Marshall last year. Back to back years for the first time since 21-22 with Kyrie Elam and Marco Wilson. And is the 18th Gator selected all time by the Cowboys. So just a couple of fun little nuggets here.
Make sure, Black Raider Steel, make sure you're here Wednesday when we talk to Will Fong. Just saw Mark Matthews with a Fong bomb.
You know who's below the Gators in recruiting rankings right now? Black Raider Steel's favorite team.
I don't know what Mario's doing. I mean, we're actually taking Mario's – speaking of blueprints, we're taking the trenches blueprint. Like, Mario did a good job of just grabbing 5-star and, you know, big boys in the trenches. And I think Phil Trotwine say, hey, man, hold my beer.
Oh, my God.
I heard Phil told the recruits, man, you want to go play for a guy that never even play offensive line on the pop. He's not big enough to play offensive line on the Pop Warner team right now. Mm. Why would you go play for Mirror Ball? He's 5'1", 100 pounds, man. Come play for a real G.
Nick, here's a trivia
question. I was looking back in old mode here a little bit, man.
Come on now.
Let me stop, man. I'm going
to
look back.
Corey's about to be like, Phil walked into Mario's house and said, hey, Siri, play Usher, Daddy's Home.
Daddy's Home. Daddy's Home, man.
Oh, man. Nick, here's a trivia question for you. Obviously, Corey and Jordan, you can participate. How many kickers do you think have ever been drafted from the University of Florida?
Two.
Trey Smack becomes this number.
Trey Smack is the second.
Okay.
Second.
I can name more than three off the top of my head, but
yeah.
Go ahead, Corey. What's your guess?
Five.
Five? Jordan?
Yeah, I'll roll with six.
Six? Jordan Scarlett. You get the gold star today, my brother.
Hey.
Six? Okay. Nick said under three. Disrespectful. I thought you was a special teams guy, man.
I'm the punter propagandist. But kickers are weird. Okay. Punters are people too.
All right, Nick. Since you're a punting guy, how many punters have been drafted from the University of Florida?
Seven.
Four.
There's two answers. I'll take either one. Corey?
There's two answers.
Well, yeah.
I'll go between both of them. Pause. Five.
Okay. So if you would have said five or six, you're correct. It's the sixth all time and the fifth since the merger in 1967. So,
see, Corey, I was also counting Spurrier, who punted a little bit. So that would be the seventh.
Mm, okay.
Spurrier punted?
Kicked and punted.
Yeah.
Was it like a just a trick play or something? Like fake, like you're about to quarterback?
I think that they that's just what they did back then.
It was just football in the 60s, baby.
Yeah, man. That's what you did. Tez, Super Chat, Nick, were you interviewing Liam Cohen, and how was that?
The coaches clinic. Yeah. I talked to Liam, a little bit. Cool guy.
Yeah.
I gave him his entire draft strategy.
I can tell. Like it. I can tell.
You're not impressed with what they got?
No, man. We deserve the F everybody giving us, man. I don't know. It was just, once you got a first round pick, which I wasn't mad at because, you know, we took some risks to not have that first round pick. I ain't never mad at that, but the strategy just seems random.
Yeah, I feel both ways. I feel like you can't really like tell, because how many times have we watched drafts and all the people that were right. On the top?
I done got some A's. I done got some A drafts.
Until they hit the grass, I ain't giving no grades yet.
You did draft another Brian Thomas Jr.
What is y'all thoughts on a lot of people were a little shocked and surprised that Tyreek Sapp didn't get drafted? I thought he moved around too much throughout his career, and then the productivity. He helped us out in some bunches when he was moved to D tackle. I just think that kind of just slowed down his development and of some things, but I think he'll make a roster. Mm-hmm. But
You know, I mean,
yeah, and that's a
Broad County boy for sure, man. I obviously wanted to see him get drafted, but I agree with you on that. He just played too many places, and I think he was playing out his position majority of his time at Florida and really couldn't showcase what he does. I think him maybe being in the system, we can probably play like a true 4-eye or something like that. He'll probably strive, because I don't think he's, you know, fast enough to play as a true edge rusher and probably not big enough to be really on the interior side, so... He's definitely that good tweener. Good thing about him, he's a dog, and I think he'll be able to find his way through.
Yeah. Tyreek Sapp ends up with the Cleveland Browns as an undrafted free agent.
God, he decided to go there?
They might have given him the biggest signing bonus.
They're probably giving him the biggest bonus, yeah.
Yeah. You know, especially with those unguaranteed, non-guaranteed roster spots and contracts, he – got to take the bag while you can. And I'm sure he's a guy
probably look at the depth chart and go, you know what? Let's go to Cleveland and make a roster.
Exactly. Cost of living's a little bit cheaper too, you know? J. Michael Sturdivant ends up with the Green Bay Packers as an undrafted free agent. And then Rocco Underwood.
He's someone I think makes a team.
You think so?
I think J. Mike makes a team. I think the offense last year was so bad. Like, nobody was going to look good in the offense, especially a receiver. I think he goes about his business like a pro. I think he's faster than we know. Good route runner. Can play on special teams as well.
I mean, it's a good offense to be in as a wide receiver, but I don't know. I haven't seen it out of him since his freshman year of college either. So at some point, he's going to have to start stacking games together.
Yeah, he looks a little stiff, is what I would say. I think he has straight line track speed, but I don't know if it translates to in and out of breaks from what I've seen, you know, in the last couple of years, even this last year before he came, watching some of the tape before he got injured there. So, I mean, you got to always work on your game. That's what it's all about, right? He can still get better, but I think that's what he needs to work on is, you know, the stiffness a little bit. Maybe you need to do some salsa classes, you know, some minute.
Salsa is crazy.
Some yoga classes. Yeah, you can come down to yoga. I mean,
yeah, but also, like, I look at their wide receiver. Like, it's not a daunting wide receiver room.
No, they don't have a daunting group, and I think that there's an opportunity probably more there than somewhere else, and obviously having Jordan Love
Buddy
football.
Miami. I couldn't name a single receiver on our roster.
Oh, my God. It did get a little bad. Chill on them, boys.
That's okay.
I like the reaching y'all did. I like that reaching.
No. Listen. I loved our draft, and I think we need to continue to focus on how few points we can score on our way to the first or second draft pick this season, next season.
What are you trying to get, Arch?
Dante Moore, a quarterback.
Darian Mensah? Named,
sure. A quarterback. As yeah, many as you
just don't want Malik Willis?
No, certainly not. Draft three or four quarterbacks.
Yeah, I didn't love the draft. I thought they got some good guys, but, you know, they're still the Dolphins, and we're still going to win at most four games.
Yeah, but I was like
former Gator, Caleb Douglas. Down South
yeah, third Florida. Round, Caleb Douglas, man. You talk about development. He came in the same class with Trey Wilson. Trey Wilson was the gem of the class, freshman All-American. Caleb leaves, develops a little bit, and a great job of development. I did not see Caleb as a third-round type of guy, but had the speed. He had a great career at Texas, but I'm saying when he first got here, I didn't see him as a third-round guy. By the end of his career, he was very productive, man.
He was good at Texas Tech. I don't know
when he left, too. Guy, I remember when he left, I remember thinking, like, damn, I thought he would have contended for one of the starting spots at Florida. I don't know why he's leaving, but went closer to home.
He tried to come back. Texas Tech. Melissa Keys.
Well, by that time, you had Vernell Brown and Dallas Wilson and – other things were in the fold.
Oh, boy. And then last one, Rocco Underwood.
You ever been to Lubbock? I would try to leave, too.
Yeah, buddy.
Lubbock stinks. It's terrible.
I don't know what they're trying to do. They showing up for them Texas Tech bucks.
Yeah, that's what they're showing the kids.
They got Monopoly money out there. Rocco Underwood goes to the Eagles. As long snapper. So, again, a guy that has an opportunity to make it. I don't know what the Eagles' long snapper situation is, but one of the best in college football the last few years. So, congratulations to them. 7 players drafted, 3 signed as undrafted free agents, and certainly wish those guys the best. And I think there's still a couple other guys that may have a chance.
Long snapper is a crazy job, too. It's like there's only 32 of them.
Yeah.
And if you don't mess up your snapping, you can play until like you're 42 years old.
That's a fact.
Yeah, I'm taking Harlem out back tomorrow. We're going to some long snapping.
Just in case, he's a utility guy.
Dad, why aren't we doing back pedals? No. You're going to hold the football like this. And
They can't even hit you like that, bro. Like, you just put your head down, bro, and just bye bye.
Let's go. I mean, but Rocco Underwood was the first guy down there every single play. I mean, he had some good tackles. I think he had a fumble recovery, maybe, or a forced fumble. shout out to Rocco Underwood.
He's got Usher's playing in Vintage Gator's house now.
Hell yeah. I love that. I love that.
Daddy's home, man.
Nick, it's time. There was going to be a really good transition there with Corey talking about backpedaling. It's now time to talk about the Gators on the baseball diamond. Corey's here for your reckoning.
Yeah, no. Same story as last week. Friday, you go out, you get a gem from Aiden King. Aiden King might be SEC pitcher of the year. I think he's got since becoming the Friday night starter, he's got like 22 2/3 innings, like a 1.6 ERA. Just nasty. Going to be a first round pick next year. And then you lose Friday and you lose Sunday or Saturday and you lose Sunday. Same exact story as the weekend before. Florida has more errors than games played. Currently ranked 170th in the country in terms of fielding percentage. So it's not good. You're also hitting, if I pull it up, I think they're hitting under 260 as a team. So it's like you're not able to hit, and they're not hitting home runs. They have 8 more home runs than errors on the season, so you can't even hit your way out of it. I feel bad for like Liam Peterson looking this up. They're hitting, fielding, they have 49 errors in 45 games.
That's not good.
Jeez.
As a team, you're hitting 266. If I click this button and make it just SEC play, you're hitting 240. You're also injured. So, like, when you get to the bullpen, they don't have anyone to bridge. So you're trying to ask, like Sunday, they had to ask Josh Reitner to get the last 11 outs of a game. You're bringing in your closer in a game. You're down 4 runs. Poor Liam Peterson in 7 of his 11 starts, the team has scored 4 runs or less. They're a frustrating team because they have shown, like, Georgia is first ranked number one in the SEC right now, and Florida goes up there and smokes them. Like, they can – Florida, when they play well, can beat any team in the country. And when they kick the ball around the field, they can lose to any team in the country. And that makes them very frustrating.
All right, some guy on Twitter, Billy Napier's burr. I don't know what that means. He probably needs changing that. Billy Napier's gone, man. Y'all changed all y'all Billy Napier at handle. But he was asking me about baseball and NIL. He thinks baseball's troubles is coming from the NIL world and us, you know, how we approach the transfer portal, et cetera. What's your thoughts, Nick?
I don't know what they – I don't know what other schools get. Somebody sent me this earlier today on Twitter. So I don't know what other schools are paying. I know LSU throws money, like crazy money around. I know Tennessee threw crazy money around. They got a huge like donor and threw a crazy money around the year after they won the national championship. But there was something on Twitter today and this guy was like listing through. I think we're competitive. I don't know that we're in the top three. But also like the coaches have to be able to like raise money. Like Tim Walton raises money for softball. Football and basketball kind of have donors just because of how high profile the sports are. But like Jordan was at an event where women's basketball threw an event to help raise money for NIL. So part of it is the program and it can the coach raise money. Sully's built a great program, but he never really had to worry about NIL. And you were getting kids because you protected arms. So dads wanted to send their high-level elite high school son who is a pitcher, send them to Florida because they're not going to throw 150 pitches in a game. And my coach is not going to be worried about winning on Friday night in May and throw my kid's arm out. And you were getting guys like Jack Caglione and Wyatt Langford to show up. And now you might have a school say, hey, we'll give that guy $500,000. And like, that's crazy. That's just kind of where we are. But the baseball money is not what football and basketball are.
We just had a user comment down there. He posted that, put that up. He said, need a new hitting coach. Recruiting in NIL ain't the issue.
We're loaded.
Now we firing people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're also like the fielding issue. Like, you lose Chuck Jeralemon. He goes to Tennessee. Tennessee has the second best fielding percentage in the nation.
Do you think it's correlated, or?
They weren't great fielding last year, but they weren't this bad fielding last year. But like, you have a coach who comes in, and now you're the coach who was coaching outfield is now coaching the infield, and your new coach is coaching the outfield because that's what Tom Slater does. So it was just a very tumultuous offseason for the Florida baseball program. It's just there's just such lazy takes on Twitter, and I feel like I have failed Gator fans. I've tried to teach you baseball.
You have
for like a decade.
And we lie every year. So, like, we're not learning anything.
I've tried to teach you guys baseball for a decade, and then I get they're bad because they don't have a leader. And I'm like, bro, they've got more errors than games played. None of that is leadership. They're hitting 260. That's not leadership. Like, they need to make hitting adjustments throughout the game. I'm talking to my buddy, friend of the program, Ryan Broninger. Throughout the weekend, he covers Texas A&M for Texas, and he said before the weekend, he goes, Texas A&M has one or two pitchers who have enough talent to pitch for Florida, and neither of them would start on the weekend. And then I watched Florida get beat by mediocre fastballs on Saturday and Sunday for 5 innings and not make adjustments. Like, you you can say it's the hitting coach, but like Sully's not going up there. Tom Slater isn't going up there. And if you're watching knee-high fastballs at 89, 92 miles an hour, I can't take the bat off your shoulder. So like
Billy wasn't taking the snaps either, but the quarterback position was atrocious.
Yeah, but like so like last year, like or 2 years ago, Brody Donay ends a game by popping out. And like they're down six runs and the bases are loaded, and Brody Donay swings on an 0-0 count when he has a take sign. Like the coach literally says, don't swing, and he swings. Like that, it's not coaching. You're just looking at him like, what are you doing? you looked me in the eyes. I said, I gave you the sign that's don't swing. You said, cool, and you swung.
Can't help that right there, boss.
No, I got other takes of that, but I'd rather not say.
I think Cora and I are on the same page. But I don't know enough about baseball.
Yeah, they ain't respecting his gangster, bro.
Yeah,
that's probably right.
Bro, one time my dad, bro, I remember this, man, just baseball days, man. So we had a tournament, man. I just thought I was the fastest person on the baseball diamond every single week, man. So, you know, we had an age where you couldn't lead off or anything like that, but I was going to steal every base I can. We was down like we was down 1-0, bro, and we was getting whooped bad. Like, we couldn't get a guy. I was the first guy to get on base, and I got walked, right? So I'm just like, man, nobody's going to hit this pitch. I'm about to steal all the way home. So I steal first. My dad's telling me, don't steal. I steal first and second. Like, I'm out of here. I get the second. He look at me again. He's like, don't do it. Bro, so I take off from second. I'm running to third. The third, I was so like, I ain't have a chance, man. He caught the ball, was waiting on me, man. So I just try to run the third baseman over, and he kind of checked me and like, oh. Yeah, and I fell on my back.
Can't do that.
I got up, man. My dad gave me the thrashing. I've never, you know, this is the 90s, so they didn't really care about like child abuse back then.
I'm walking back to the dugout, and I can see my dad taking his belt off. Yeah. They're like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they well, here you go. For that one, there is a new hitting coach this year.
They need another one.
yeah, it – And then it's like in the bullpen, some of the guys in the bullpen are struggling, but you've got injuries too. So you've got to stay healthy. Florida has not been healthy. Yeah. Just a very frustrating team.
I don't know.
And now that we're talking about them like this, they'll like go and win two out of three.
Well, like I don't know how baseball rankings work. I've never seen more diabolically different numbers than when I look at baseball rankings, but one of them came out and has Florida 15. So
Baseball America has had yeah. So everyone dropped Florida three spots is when I was looking through them. Florida dropped three spots in all of them. So Baseball America had them at 12. They're down to 15. I think 64 Analytics dropped them from like 19 to 22, and D1 dropped them from 22 to 25.
Gotcha.
They're still like – the other thing too is you get Oklahoma this week, one more midweek game, not – tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, or if you're listening to this on Tuesday, a week from Tuesday, they have one more midweek. But then you get Kentucky, who's 1-6 in SEC conferences at home, and then LSU. Speaking of like NIL and not having enough NIL money, I don't know that anyone spends more than LSU does, and they are also 1-6. Their coach straight up came out two weeks ago and was like,
in the hospital.
Jay Johnson straight up came out and was like, yo, we just had a bad portal class and we don't have a good team and we're going to fix it, but we can't fix it this year, but we will go out and recruit a whole new team.
I just can't imagine being a player on a team and hearing my coach say that publicly, but
yeah, Jay Johnson basically was like, hey, it's not their fault. We asked them to come here.
Yeah.
It's our fault and we'll fix it. And I was like, yo, my goodness. Classic
Steve Spurrier to Danny Werfel interception comment, you know?
Not my fault. Not your fault.
Not your fault you threw an interception. It's my fault for putting you out there.
Yeah. No, but I mean, listen, that's a coach who has won two national championships.
Mm.
Well, Nick, I appreciate you for standing on business about the baseball team. We'll wrap up here one time for our friends over at home field or at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville, Florida on Archer Road. They have the largest selection of Florida Gators apparel of any store in Gainesville. So go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville on Archer Road right off of the I-75 exit. So again, we appreciate there's about 1,300 people watching right now. If you could hit the retweet button, if you could hit the like button, if you could share this with your friends, family, relatives, Miami fans, they seem to love being here as well. Go watch our Speedy Jennings interview yesterday. It's on your podcast feed or it's on YouTube. The conversation that we had with John Summerall is going to drop tomorrow at 10 a.m. And then we are going to record again live on Wednesday at 8 p.m. with On Three Steve Wiltfong to talk about the Gators recruiting class and what the future might look forward. So a very, very, very rare four-episode week for Stadium and Gale. We appreciate you all for watching. We do have to do joke of the week this week. I don't know whose turn it was.
I went last week, so it ain't me.
Oh, man.
Man, I wasn't prepared. Y'all should have reminded me.
Yeah. We got to. All right, we'll get that on the calendar for next week.
I have a song if we do something, if we want song of the week.
Sure, Nick, we can do it for posterity's sake.
Let's see, this one is a little country song about addiction. Cameron Whitcomb, Options. Good song. I just saw Cameron Whitcomb from Stagecoach. I saw like IG clips. Options is the song.
Options, awesome. Well, we appreciate y'all, and we will see you at the same corner, same time. I guess technically tomorrow morning you'll see us at the corner, different time.
Oh, yeah.
Then we'll see you Wednesday night. Again, same corner, different time again, and then we'll see you guys next Monday. Appreciate you guys.